today we're going to continue part two of the story we started last week of the series called Unbroken. How many enjoyed last week's message? Did you enjoy that? So many people responded this week and told me how much so that they were able to understand the message that we spoke last week as we looked at Louis Zamperini's life and how that related, and we're able to paint the picture of Easter through looking at his life to have a better understanding of what God did for us. For those of you who do not know who Louis Zamperini is, he was a World War II prisoner of war hero who in 1943, on a search rescue mission, his engine went out in his plane and his 11-passenger plane crashed in the ocean 850 miles off the coast of Hawaii. They floated. Only three of them survived the plane crash, and only two of them survived for over 45 days out on the ocean in their rafts waiting to be rescued, only to be picked up by their enemy, the Japanese at the time, took them into captivity and took them to be prisoners of war. And last week we heard the story of how Louis, an Olympic hero, an Olympic athlete for the United States, was singled out because of his Olympic status. Seen as a strong leader and strong-willed person, the prison guards singled him out and abused him and tried to make an example out of him to the other prisoners. And he went through much mental and physical torture as a person could take. We saw in the illustration last week how one time he had to take blows from everybody in that prison camp. And if he didn't take those blows that they brought out a weak prison guard, they were going to kill him if he didn't take the blows for his friends. And so he took, one by one, he took the blows from all the other prisoners there in order to save his friends' lives. And we looked and seen how that's how Christ did for us on the cross. He took the blows of sin. He took the blows on the cross so that you and I could be saved, that you and I would be find life. And he took that for us. And then the last scene that we saw in the last part of the story last week was where the prison guard, took him and tried to break him after Louis being malnourished and dehydrated and weak. He took him out in front of all the other prisoners and made him pick up that beam and hold that piece of wood above his head and told the guards, if he drops that wood, to shoot him and kill him, trying to break his will. He'd been trying to break his will over and over again. And we see where something on the inside of him would not allow himself to break. And instead of breaking, he held that up for hours upon hours. And finally, the bird gave up, and it actually did the reverse. It broke the will of his enemy. The fact that they could not break his will, it broke his will. And we see how that's how the death and the resurrection of Jesus happened. Satan thought he could break the will of the Father by killing his son. But he didn't realize he didn't kill his son. He couldn't break his son. That the will of the Father was this, that his son would be unbroken. And because his son was unbroken, we who were broken could be made whole. Incredible story. Now, today, many of you want to say, what happened next? Well, we're going to pick up with the story today. Shortly after that story of his will not being broken, we see where the war came to an end, that the prisoners were set free. But that was only the start of Louis' journey. See the rest of the next part of this story.
In prison camp, you focus on determination. You don't want to die. That's the race for life. And you want to win. And you won't give up. I tell you, the greeting at the airport when I came home, oh, God, that's an emotion I can never explain. Unbelievable.
Now, the life we are about to relive is an American saga of courage and stamina that perhaps has no equal in the annals of sports or war, from the heroes of ancient Greece to our own day. This is your life, Louis Zamperini.
Louis, come out here.
When Louis got back to the United States, he was kind of dazzled by his sudden fame. His story had appeared in the New York Times, and everyone knew he was this miracle survivor. He had been given up for dead, and suddenly he was alive and had this incredible story to tell, and he was a huge star. But he was inside starting to come apart emotionally.
my post-traumatic stress was pretty severe the last year of the war, and then it followed me on home, and I couldn't get anything out of my mind.
Like a lot of prisoners of war, he began to experience terrible nightmares. When he'd hear a car backfire, he would think he was in combat, and all of a sudden he would see POW camp around him.
Every night he was having this recurring nightmare of being beaten by the bird. He'd gone to the VA hospital, you know, trying to get help. They couldn't figure it out.
So he self-medicated. He just drank. He drank a lot just to deal with it. I was just an infant when he still had his PTSD. And so I don't really remember the arguments between him and my mother.
He went through some terrible years where he was destroying his marriage.
So now we see where Louis is home, and now he is suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. And he said he had nightmares every night, as you can imagine, of being beaten and being back in the prison camp. And this went on and on for many years in his life, to the point where the only relief he could get was through addiction and through alcoholism. And his relationships were falling apart, even though he was considered a war hero. And he was still, his life was falling apart. And Louis had to do something. And he talks about this journey, and we'll hear more about it at the very end of this message. But he learned how to forgive. He learned how to give. And I want to talk to you about that thought today in the second part of this message, how to really forgive. Most people hear that word forgiveness, how to forgive, and automatically it arises two emotions in you. Number one, those of you in here who say, well, I don't have anybody that I'm mad at or I have anything against, and so this message really isn't for me. And there's, or number two, there's those of you in here who have people that you haven't forgiven in your life, and you know it. And as soon as I talk about it or mention it, you're like, guilt floods your mind right away because you're like, I know I already struggle with this. I just tell you right now, Pastor Gene, at the start of this message, I struggle with this, and I'm feeling guilty before you ever say a word. Well, I'm here to address both people today, because both groups of people, because I believe that many of us here have unforgiveness we don't even want to admit. And other of us here, we have unforgiveness, and it's okay. I'm going to teach you how to deal with that guilt and how to be released of that guilt today. I like what Paul said when he was talking about forgiveness. Paul told the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 2:10 through 11. Look what he says. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Look what he says now. He says, you forgive him, I forgive him, we're going to forgive him. Look why he says it's important that we forgive. I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake in order that Satan might not, what? Outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Some translations use the word tricks. You know, Satan doesn't come up with anything new. Do you realize this? He uses the same schemes over and over again. He's kind of like the rabbit off of the Trix box. Anybody like Trix cereal here? Remember kids? You silly rabbit, Trix is for what? Kids. It is amazing that that rabbit is still trying to pull the same tricks today. Silly rabbit, that Trix is for kids. You know, Satan's the same way. There's nothing new that he can do to us, but he tries to outwit us by using certain schemes. And one of the biggest schemes that he uses in the life of a believer and an unbeliever is the scheme of us walking with resentment, walking with unforgiveness toward others in our heart. And when we do this, we throw ourselves in isolation, we throw ourselves in a cage, and we can never live our life to the fullest destiny that God got for our life when we allow ourselves to be chained up with unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. And so he sits back and he laughs when he sees us falling to these traps, these schemes of unforgiveness. There are certain physical laws that if we break them, we're going to suffer pain, correct? If I grab something hot, it's going to burn. If I fall off something tall without a parachute, it's going to hurt. How many think that's true? Yeah, we know this to be very true. There are physical laws. If I break, they're going to cause me pain. There are spiritual laws that if I don't follow these spiritual laws, I'm going to suffer some spiritual pain in my life. It just happens. And unforgiveness is an area that when we break this spiritual law in the kingdom of God, we're going to suffer harm. We're not going to have the spiritual freedom that God has always intended for us to have when we live our life with unforgiveness. Let me give you maybe one of the most powerful statements you've ever heard in your life. I believe this to be very true. God is never more revealed in your life than when you forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. Let's say it again. God is never more revealed in your life than when you forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. This is what God is wanting us to do, is learn to forgive those who don't deserve to be forgiven. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. Well, Jesus can say this. You want to know why? Because he lived it. Remember on the cross, when the Word of God says he carried the sins of the world upon the cross. And when he was up on the cross, taking those blows for you and me, what were we doing? Scripture says they were on the ground saying, ha, if you're the Son of Man, come down from there, man. Call your angels, man. He's the King of Kings, guys. Let's give him a crown of thorns and place it on his head. They mocked him. They blasphemed him. Now, if this had been me, if this had been you, if I had all power in the universe and I was carrying your sins and you mocked me on the cross, I'd have called down lightning from the sky. Kabam! Crispy critter time right there. I would have caused the earth to open up and swallow you whole and send you to the lake of fire right there. That's me. How many are glad Jesus wasn't me? I'm glad Jesus wasn't you, because you'd have done the same thing. But his love was, Father, what? Forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't comprehend what's happening here through grace. They don't realize the sacrifice that I'm giving is for them. So, Father, forgive them, even though they haven't asked to be forgiven yet. Wow. Now that is strong. We didn't know we were lost. We didn't know we needed forgiveness. We didn't realize what was going to happen in 3 days. We didn't realize what had happened on that cross. But before we could ever have an understanding, before you and I could ever ask to be forgiven, he said, Father, forgive them. Powerful. He was unlocking the schemes of Satan. He knew that he had to offer forgiveness. Let's pick up the story here in Matthew 8:21 that talks about forgiveness. We see where Pete, one of our favorite disciples, I like Pete because I can relate to Pete. He was always doing something wrong. That's kind of like you and me, right? Pete always seemed to be doing he had good intentions, but he didn't always follow through with the right actions. But this is one of the things that we see in Pete's life where I think he gets a bad rap on, because he said, Jesus, let me ask you this. Let's pick it up in verse 21. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Jesus said, I did not say up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Now, some people say, well, Peter was so weak in his faith, you know. He just wanted to forgive us 7 times. Realize that according to the law, the spiritual laws of those days, he was commanded to only forgive 3 times. They taught, forgive someone 3 times. And so he not only doubled that, but he added one on for extra grace. Or maybe he said, you know, 7 seems to be the number of completion. We see where 7's kind of a holy number. Maybe this is God's number. God, is 7 it? You know, he wasn't being shallow. He was actually showing a lot of grace and faith by saying this. But God was trying to blow his concept and my concept and your concept of forgiveness out the window. And he said, no, not 7 times, but it's 7 times 70. And he didn't say that so that you and I would walk around keeping score And at 491, say, ah, ha, ha, ha. Now I don't have to forgive you. This was not the concept of grace that he was trying to teach. The concept of grace he was trying to teach is there is no limit to the grace of God. And there's no limit to what I want you to do in learning to give forgiveness away to those who don't deserve it. It's the principle of the kingdom of God. We see this in the story in Matthew 18 that follows us up right in the next verse. Look what it says here. Look what Jesus says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven. All right, are you getting this? When God says this, he is painting a picture for you and I here on earth to have a spiritual eyes on. Now, we can put on our spiritual glasses and we can peer into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, when we pray, Father, your will be done on here on earth as it is in heaven, right? Your kingdom come. He was wanting these things to be released here on earth. And now he draws the picture. The kingdom of heaven, what God is wanting to operate here on earth and be released through the kingdom of heaven here on earth is this. It's like a certain king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle these accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children, and that he had to make payment in full. Now, according to this time, we see where 10,000 talents would equal to approximately about $12 to $13 million of today's dollars. So this is nothing to sneeze at, okay? We're talking about millions of dollars that he owed this king. And he couldn't pay back. And so by law, the king says, I have every right to enslave you for the rest of your life. Not only you, but your wife. Not only your wife, but your children. And I have your possessions. And I have your livestock. And I have everything you have now belongs to me. He had this right. And we see this happening. Now, let's look at what the response now in verse 26 and verse 27. Then the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. So ring a bell. It's compassion for us that took our Savior to the cross. He was moved with compassion. He released him and he forgave him of the what? The debt. He forgives his debt. This is an important part of the story. Don't forget this part. He forgives him of the debt he owed. This is amazing. This is an incredible story. How many people remember when God forgave you of a debt that you owed? I owe the debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Anybody remember that day when God forgave your debt? Can you remember when God forgave you when nobody else would forgive you? Can you remember God forgave you when everybody else remembered the person you used to be? The failures in your life. And God forgave you. Oh, do you remember that debt being paid? I wonder how many here today, if you had $13 million in debt, and someone said, that debt is paid. How many of you don't care where you were, at your job, in your home, in your neighborhood, no matter where you was at, you would be like, hallelujah! Revival would break out right there. You don't care what people thought of you. You just got forgiven of $13 million in debt. You'd be excited, wouldn't you? You would tell people. Look at this guy's response. Let's go to the next verse. This is an immediate response. But that servant went out. He leaves from being forgiven. He goes out and he finds one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me now what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw the guy into prison to until he still paid the debt. Now, 100 denarii, that's not equivalent to 100 bucks. In today's dollars, that would be equivalent to approximately around maybe $20. So he gets forgiven of $13 million. He walks out, and he finds the guy who still owes him $20. And he says, give me my money. And has the guy thrown in prison. Now, I want you to see something here, because I think what happened here is not, I believe in the story, I believe that this guy was not selfish. I don't believe he was just some selfish guy who wanted his money for money's sake. I believe the real problem in the story is the man had a hard time realizing that he had been forgiven of $13 million. I believe in his mind he was still panicking, thinking, well, God's going to, that king is going to come back. And he's going to say, pay me my money. Give me what you owe me. Give me a down payment. So I've got to get everything I can get my hands on right now. So when God comes back and asks me, when the king comes back and asks me, I can give it to him. I believe in his heart, he had yet not accepted the grace that had been given to him. Therefore, he couldn't give it away to somebody else. Are you following me here? He couldn't accept the grace that had been given to him. Therefore, he couldn't give it away to somebody else. It's a tragedy. We see this happening in his life. Let me give you some reasons that God wants you and I to forgive. Number one, I have been forgiven by God. This is why God wants you and I to forgive, because I have been forgiven by God, and he wants us in return to forgive. Let's pick up the rest of the story in Matthew 28:30. We saw this already. I owed him 100 denarii. Now, what's he do? He takes this money and he says, you owe me this. Why? All because he could not accept the forgiveness, the grace that was given to him, and now he can't give it to somebody else who needs it. See, in our life, we hang on to unforgiveness, because we really haven't experienced the true grace that God has given to you and I. Ephesians 4:32, look what it says here. It says, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as what? Christ God forgave you. See, God expects us to give away his grace. God expects us to give away his grace. But you can't give away what you haven't experienced. You can't give away what you don't have an understanding of. God wants you to give away his grace. Number two, resentment doesn't work. This is the reason. Resentment does not work. Write that down. It doesn't work. You can be resentful all you want, but resentment never works. It never hurts anybody but you. Listen, when you walk around with unforgiveness and you're bitter and you're resentful, it never hurts anybody but you. You're not hurting the person you're resenting. You're not getting even. They're out living their life. And you're the one that's suffering. Look what Mark 11:25 says. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, look what it says. Write it down in the back of your Bible. Stick it in the note there, and then later on you can ignore it and not have to deal with it, right? That's what we do. Oh, yeah. Okay, God. I'm going to see. I'll deal with that later. All right, man. I know you want me to. I'll deal with that later. No, he says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgiving him so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your sins. Now, I want you to hear something very clear, because when I was growing up, they used to use this verse to try to manipulate us into salvation, you know? You're not really saved. You're not really saved if you don't forgive other people. You're not really saved. And that's furthest from the truth. This is not what this scripture is saying, okay? God's not going to get back on the cross and die again for the unforgiveness that you have in your heart. The work of the cross is grace given to us that our sins were forgiven. And when you and I accept the work of the cross through the Son Jesus Christ, we walk in a grace. It's not talking about our salvation here, okay? It's not talking about our salvation. So don't let this manipulate saying God's trying to manipulate you into salvation. No, this is not what he's saying. But what he is saying is this, is that you and I will not operate in the fullness of grace until we learn to forgive. And what I mean by this, how can I understand how much God has forgiven me? How much can I comprehend and grace set me free in my life if I can't give it away to somebody else who doesn't deserve it? But when I turn and give forgiveness to somebody who doesn't deserve it, who didn't ask for it, who didn't show any remorse, but yet I forgave them anyway, I am releasing the Father to show me a new revelation of grace and I can walk free in my life. Oh, God, that's what you did with me. Oh, thank you, God. You forgave me that while I was a yet sinner, you died for me. Grace comes alive in your life. Revelation of God's grace will come alive in your life and you'll be set free from the guilt of your past. You can become set free. Thank God you love me in spite of my wrongdoings, in spite of my imperfections, in spite of what the way I treated you, in spite of what I did against your will. You forgave me in spite of me. And what happens is God allows me now to give that away, and now I walk in a new freedom. I will tell you this, I will never walk in the full destiny that God has for my life spiritually when it comes to the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about my full destiny until I can learn to forgive. When I forgive, I am unlocking the kingdom of God, His will to be done in my life, and I can walk in spiritual freedom. I can walk in new maturity. God can multiply in my life like never before when I walk in forgiveness. And many times that requires me to forgive those who don't deserve it. The last people you ever thought about giving it to. So that's what God asks us to confront in our life. That's the very one He wants to confront in our life. See, I want that full effect of grace to be revelation in my life. Resentment puts me right back into the isolation booth. Resentment puts me right back into the isolation cell. I'm resenting those who have hurt me. I'm resenting those who have done me wrong. I'm resenting those. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm resentful to those who have done me wrong. And that person's out here living their life. Hey! They're out here living their life. They're having fun. They're not worried about you at all. They're living free, happy, and you're over here isolated through spiritual bitterness, anger, emotional, mental, relational. I can't be free to love anybody else. I can't trust anybody else. I'm stuck right here because of what they did to me. And they're out there living their life like it never happened. Why live your life in a prison of unforgiveness and resentment? God, I'm going to forgive that person even though they don't deserve it. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying I'm going to trust them ever again. But all I'm simply saying is this. I am releasing the power of confinement and chains that is put on my life. I'm releasing that. Father, I'm going to forgive them. Lord, your word says that revenge is yours. Your word says that you will take care of justice. I just released them to you, and I am forgiving them and releasing them even though they haven't asked or deserve it. I'm understanding releasing grace to people who don't deserve it. It frees me. I can live my life not confined to these bitter walls anymore. But now I can see the big picture. I understand God's grace, and I can freely give it away. And I can begin to walk in the destiny God has for my life. Matthew 18:32-34. Look what it says. Then after this, his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt. But because you begged me, should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was what? Angry. and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all the wages he owed to him. Now, let me say this to you. This is how the kingdom of God works. His master forgave him of his debt, right? And it says here, I forgave you the debt. He never questioned that he forgave him of the debt. See, we never question that God forgives us of our sins. He forgave us of our sins. That's not going to change. But what the master did deal with, what made him angry, was his ability or inability to show forgiveness. That upset them. And he dealt with it. It didn't say that he unforgave the debt. Are you following me here? He didn't unforgive the debt, but he dealt with his ability or inability to forgive. This is what God has desired in our life, and God deals with it in our life. When we don't show forgiveness, God will, in one way or another, he will learn to deal with it in our life. He will bring things in your life. He will continue to have you circle certain circumstances over and over again until you learn to deal with it. Until you say, God, I've got to get past this. He's like, I know. I've been waiting. This is the kingdom of God, that we give grace, forgiveness to those who don't ask or even deserve it. Because that's what he did to me. I was yet a sinner. He died for me when I didn't live for him, when I didn't accept him, when I didn't say anything. He still carried my sins. He still took those stripes for me. He still took those nails for me, even when I didn't deserve it. I remember one time God had dealt with me about forgiving some people who had hurt me. And I just remember in my mind, like, God, I didn't do anything wrong. Even when I got counseled and asked, did I do anything wrong? Did I do anything that deserves this? Did I do anything? And over again, I had several spiritual elders in my life say, you didn't do anything wrong here. You have nothing to be worried about. But I just feel like the Holy Spirit wanted me to go to a certain person and say, you know what? I am forgiving you and those who hurt me in this area. And so in my mind, I set up a meeting, and I just knew it was going to go so well. In my mind, I pitched it. You know, I'm gonna say, forgive me, and I forgive you, and it's gonna release something. We're gonna cry, we're gonna hug, you know, and it's gonna be great. Just like the movies. It's gonna be awesome. And I remember that I went and I set the meeting up and I told the person, hey, you know, I just want you to know I forgive you and those who hurt me. And if I did anything wrong, even though in my heart I knew I hadn't, but I said, even if I've done anything wrong, please forgive me as well. You know, and instead of that person saying, oh, you know, they're like, venom came out of them. I mean, hurtful words came out of them. They didn't accept it, and they begin to tear me down and shoot at me venom words of hurt and rejection. I'm like, God, this is not my dream. This is not the vision you gave me when I was going to say this. And it crushed me for a few days, but you know what it did? Once I forgave those, I stepped out of that box, and God set me free. And I've never been the same. My ministry's never been the same. My family's never been the same. God has been able to do something in me beyond what I could ever dream or imagine because I stepped out in forgiveness, even though it wasn't accepted. And God, you know what? He had to deal with those people, and they're in his hands. I don't have to worry about that. I'm released from that. And see, so many times when you forgive people, even though maybe you were not wrong, you're releasing them and you're not responsible for how they deal with that forgiveness. It's okay if they don't accept it, if they never acknowledge they were wrong, if they never admit anything else, you forgive them and you move on and let God do something in your life that he wants to do. Set you free. And you walk away from the isolation, from the outwit, the outlast. You are the sole survivor. Hallelujah. You step out. And you say, God, I am stepping out of this box, never to be confined to the prison of unforgiveness. And the last thing, forgiveness is given. Forgiveness given is forgiving, forgiveness received. Forgiveness given is forgiveness received. Look what Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't do this, if you don't forgive them their sins, he's going to have a hard time forgiving your sins. And he's, like I said, this is not, he's not talking about our salvation. He's talking about our everyday walk with the Lord. That he wants to do something through grace in your life. He wants you to have a revelation of grace that sets you free to live for him, to do his will, and to live your life to the fullest of joy, the fullest of the Holy Spirit being released in your life. But that can't happen when I allow unforgiveness to harbor. I've been forgiven so much. I once who was bound to hell because of the sins of my life in this world. I have now been forgiven of that. I have now been sentenced to heaven to spend eternity with our Savior. And now I'm going to be mad at somebody else who did something against me. Somebody else who did something to hurt me. Now I'm going to hold that over their head. No, God, I forgive them, even though it hurt me. Even though it was very wrong, I forgive them. I forgive them, even though they never asked or ever acknowledged that they were wrong. They never show an ounce of remorse, but yet I forgive them. When I do that, I unlock in my life the ability to have a new comprehension and understanding of God's grace in my life. I tell you, it will change you forever. It will change you forever. Forgiveness is not saying it was okay. You're not saying, by saying, I'm forgiving you, you're not saying what you did was okay. Some of you have some things done to you that, boy, on the outside, it seems like there's no way we could ever forgive somebody who would do that. You're not saying it's okay. You're not saying you have to trust them again. What you're simply saying is this, is that I am forgiving you. I'm showing you the same grace God showed me, and I'm just placing you into the Father's hands. No longer am I going to let you be a slave to your hurt emotions. No longer am I going to let you have your claws in me any longer. I'm forgiving you and releasing you. I love what Louis did here. We see where his life is falling apart. He's having nightmares every night because of his post-traumatic syndrome. He becomes an alcoholic because he's self-medicating through the pain. He can't sleep. He can't deal with society right. Can't trust people. His marriage is falling apart. His wife's getting ready to leave him. He's getting ready to lose his wife. He's getting ready to lose his family. But see what happens through the power of forgiveness.
But Louis was saved by his wife's insistence that he go to see a sermon by Billy Graham, who at that time was a very young man, not very well known, but he was speaking in Los Angeles. Louis didn't want to go. But his wife was going to leave him, and he agreed on that basis to go see him speak. And he sat in the back of the audience, and he was unhappy, and he was sullen. But Graham spoke of things that resonated with Louis, with his experience, about how God reaches into people's lives and helps them get through things that seem unsurvivable.
I think all the prisoners had basically made the same prayer. Get me home alive to my family, God, and I'll seek you, I'll serve you. And you make promises while you're under a dire situation. But how many of them keep their promise? I didn't. And so my life fell apart.
And it was at that moment that he made this realization to himself that he thought God had actually helped him through this, and he owed God something. And he realized what he needed to do.
So I went forward in the meeting and made my confession of faith in Christ, and I couldn't believe what happened. While I was still on my knees, my life changed in a matter of moments because I knew I was through getting drunk, and I knew that I forgave my guards, and I knew it was a miracle because I forgave the bird. And that was the first night. The first night in 2.5 years I didn't have a nightmare, and I haven't had one since.
And Louis realized that God can forgive him for all the rotten things he did in his life, that he ought to be able to forgive those that had done him wrong. So forgiving the guards and the bird was actually salvation for him. It really turned him around in an instant.
He decided he needed to test his forgiveness to see if he really had truly achieved it. And he went back to Japan to meet the guards who had abused him so terribly. and he went to Sugama prison where they were all being held for war crimes.
He went to every single one and looked him in the eye and told him that he forgave him for mm-hmm. the treatment that he received when he was a prisoner of war.
He felt no animosity. He just felt compassion, and they couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. It was a wonderful experience. He knew he had truly forgiven then.
I think it's incredible that he forgave them. That's a lesson that he taught my father and me. By hating somebody, I'm not hurting them. I'm only hurting myself. You can forgive anybody. Forgiveness is always possible.
The bird was not in custody when Louis went back to Japan in 1950, so Louis didn't meet him. Louis was actually told at the time that the bird was believed to have committed suicide, so Louis thought the bird was dead until many, many years later, 1997, I believe it was, someone told him the bird actually was alive and had survived. He said he nearly fell out of his chair when he was told that the bird was still alive. And the first thought he had was, I want to meet him. The bird refused to meet him, but Louis was at peace with it all. He had forgiven the bird.
Well, if you don't forgive, it's eating on your soul. Forgiveness must be complete, no matter who the person is. And I've had a few enemies, even the last few years, and the only way I can forgive them is to pray for them. And that's what I do. Instead of hating them, I pray for them. You just have to buckle up and go on to greater things.
What a true testament of God's grace that he could turn around and forgive the very prison guards who beat him, mistreated him, abused him. Only God can do that. Only God could do that in a person's life. And I'm here to tell you that same power of forgiveness and grace God is wanting you and I to operate in and flow through us. I want you to bow your heads. Today, as you bow your heads, I simply ask you this question that how many here today say, Pastor, I want to forgive. As you're talking, I realize that I've got some people in my life that I still haven't forgiven. That even though it's been hard, because I feel like they were wrong and I wasn't. Sometimes people I'm having a hard time forgiving, and they don't even deserve it on the outside. But today, I realize the Holy Spirit is telling me there's some people that God's wanting me to forgive. If that's you, can you just raise your hands? That's me. Yeah, hands going up everywhere. Lots and lots of people. I'm forgiving them. Even though they don't deserve it, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to do my best with God's help to learn to forgive. To be at peace knowing that I'm forgiving them, placing them now into God's hands and saying, God, I want to learn to give them grace, even though they don't deserve it. In return, I believe that God's going to unlock a new understanding of his grace in your life. As you give it away to somebody else, he's going to let you see just how much he has forgiven you and I and given us grace when we didn't deserve it. I want to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. The truth be known, probably about 85-90% of people in this room raise their hands saying that there's people in your life that you know the Holy Spirit wants you to forgive. I believe today is going to be a new day in your life. I believe today many of you are taking a step to say, I am stepping out of my isolation cell. I'm loosing the schemes of the enemy of my life. I'm not going to allow him to outwit me any longer. But I'm going to step into the grace of God. I'm going to release the grace of God to other people, even though they don't deserve it. I believe in this room, there's people, you're going to forgive those who hurt you deeply. You're going to forgive the father who never showed up when he promised he would. You're going to forgive the ones who rejected you. You're going to forgive the spouse who cheated and hurt you really bad. You're going to forgive the ones who spoke the cruelest, ugliest words ever imaginable to your life. You're going to forgive those who did things to you that no person should ever deserve. And you're not saying it's right, and you're not saying it's okay. You're simply saying, God, I'm going to learn to release them through forgiveness and say, God, I'm placing them in your hands. I'm not going to be resentful any longer. I'm learning to forgive only by the knowledge of how much you've forgiven me. I now am going to forgive those and let you deal with them, God. This is yours. I'm not going to carry it around any longer. I'm placing this into your hands, and I'm going to walk free in grace, and I'm going to give grace away. I believe this is happening this morning. We're going to sing this song. It simply says, God, your love, it knows no end. And I want you to be consumed by the love of our Father today and say, God, I want to give the same love away in my life. I want to pray for you one time, more time today before we leave. Can you just raise your hands? Father, I thank you that you're going to give us grace to release and forgive the unforgiven. We're going to forgive those who don't deserve it. We're going to forgive those who don't even ask or do anything in remorse. But God, in the Spirit today, we're going to release them. Place them in your hands today, God. Freeing ourselves. I pray right now that an abundance of grace be poured into people's lives this morning. That God, they can show grace. They can show mercy. They can forgive those who have hurt them. They can forgive those who did us wrong. God, that we can give grace away so freely because you first gave it to us. We walk in your grace today. We release your grace today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. If you receive that word today in your life, say, yes, Lord, I've received this word. We're going to continue the series all month long. We're going to be talking about being unbroken and what that looks like in our life. God bless you so much for being here today. Turn to someone and say, man, it was good to be with you. You guys have a great afternoon.